I'm the one novel kind of guy, you know. I'm not into harems. I say, despite a lot of people saying I have a harem, but I don't. Yeah. I do that, you know, kind of borderline harem stuff.
This is the Crit RPG Podcast, your one-stop shop for everything Lit RPG, Progression Fantasy, and Royal Road.
Hi. Hi, Zorgarth. How are you doing?
I'm totally fine. I'm waiting to get back to playing Baldur's Gate 3 again.
Yeah. Thank you for coming to the Crit RPG Podcast, everyone. It was so good to having you. This is Zorgarth, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you. I only managed to get in a single 12-hour session yesterday.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Life is tough, you know, a full workday.
How do you balance this, like playing video games and then also writing?
Primarily through playing video games the entire day, then suddenly realizing, oh shit, the day's nearly over, and then panic writing for a few hours. And then trying to get the chapter done. And then you're like, wait, I'm not done yet, and I'm too tired. So what you then do is, you know, you take your alarm clock, right? And then you say it's just like, oh yeah, 8 hours, that sounds good. How about we clock that stuff down a few hours and then we can get some more writing done in the morning?
Like in that Shen Comics clip where he's like sliding in the brick with video games in where sleep went?
Yeah, exactly. You're like, we can balance this better. We don't need that much sleep. You can multitask, drink it, get an energy drink. That should count as an hour's sleep, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
That's how biology in the human body works.
See, and I think this is the reason why so many lit RPG authors are that young, because the old ones already all died.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I mean, shout out to old folks. See
to
you,
be
Sean.
Fair, I don't think the lit RPG has existed long enough in its current form for there to actually be a lot of old authors who had time to die of age.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still waiting for Brandon Sanderson to write a lit RPG.
I just thought you were saying I'm still waiting for him to die.
No!
I thought that was really messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think hasn't he talked about, like, he's talked about lit RPG on his podcast a few times. Like, he's mentioned he knows about the genre, but yeah. I don't know if he'll write in it. He's already, like, doing his own thing, like his own kind of fantasy.
Yeah. I mean, but think about it, like a Cosmere novel with a system?
Yeah, but the thing is, a lot of times you could also ask, yeah, but it also worked pretty well without a system the time around.
Sure.
And I feel like if you don't have anything to add with the system, but just have it as a system, then I don't really see any reason to have it be there. A lot of modern novels I see, they pretty much just have the system as a display window. That is just like, oh yeah, these are your 4 spell ranks.
Interesting, because, yeah, I mean, I don't want to like make this thing about me again.
Yeah. But,
because I personally think that if you have a good system, then you can make that the crux of the story without just making a status, you know?
Yeah, but I'm still thinking, does that actually make it a lit RPG? Or does this just make it game lit, as people also say? That actually is a great segue to, no one bloody knows what the genre is. If you go on Ask List Lit RPG and people ask about any good lit RPG recommendations, first response, have you read Cradle?
Yeah, exactly. Or, I mean, shout out to Shredaloon. He Who Fights With Monsters is a cultivation novel.
You see, yeah, actually, I'm not even sure if it's cultivation. It's not as it's like just regular fantasy.
Yes, that is also true. But I mean, you got Monster Course.
Yeah.
You got your collecting experience and then meditating to cultivate it.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone but Jason is in a cultivation novel with the ranks, and it's not called like Jade Rank, but Platinum.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So
it doesn't like have all the key things. Mm-hmm. Though I'm not sure, I always feel like cultivation always have like the Asian mythological element to
Do
them.
Do they though?
Again, I read way too many Xianxia, however it is pronounced. And I always feel like there's always, you know, an element of Buddhism and stuff mixed into cultivation. Like the entire concept of the Tao and whatnot.
Ah, yeah.
That feels very important to me, to the cultivation. If not, it's just fantasy where you condense power. Like, I feel like it's very normal, even the meditation thing, to, you know, gather energy and learning and studying magic.
Oh my god, I just had the best idea ever. We need to write a finance cultivation novel. And they're not using the Dow, they're using the Dow Jones.
No, even better. They're like fighting each other with economic novels, and they're like, what is he doing? Oh my god. He's doing the Friedman. Then it's like, what happened? Where did he go to? Oh no, he used the Porter strategy and repositioned himself in the market.
No!
He has a strategic advantage.
Please write that, you know way more about this than I do. This is great.
No, please. To. That would be horrible. It would be a good joke for like 10 chapters and then everyone's gonna leave.
I mean, that's fine, like a short story or something. I mean, like, if someone in RPG can even write a short story.
If I ever write another story or have a spin-off, I've pretty much been told I need to write if I ever write anything else.
You need to write a what?
A spin-off story if I ever need to write anything else. It is called The Primal Hamster. It is the exact same as The Primal Hunter, except the main character switch out for an overpowered hamster that's like going like Monty Python, like the rat from that. Just going around slaughtering people, being the most overpowered creature in the world.
Have you seen the Archer episode? Archer episode 100?
No, I don't think so.
That's exactly what they did. The first episode, one-to-one, they just exchanged Archer for a Velociraptor.
That's...
And he's talking in these Velociraptor noises, and everyone just like talks as though they understand him because it didn't change anything else. It is hilarious as fuck.
Yeah, that just sounds like an entirely normal novel. Or yes. Like an entirely normal episode if that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, please do. I very badly added your main character to my novel as a kind of cameo, I guess. It's basically a guy in a green cloak with glowing eyes, and he shoots snakes from his bow. Like,
yeah, that is very normal. It happens all the time.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
I feel like there's also a lot of people that have, you know, a sack from Defiance of the Fall, which is like just a big guy swing around a big axe and with a dumb name.
I mean, yeah, no, it's fine. But they come to speak of it, how did you start writing Prime Hunter? Like, was it your love of hamsters or?
No, it was just, I'd been reading a lot of Lit RPG at the time. Mm-hmm. My pipeline to the entire Lit RPG was, I started out reading Japanese manga, watching anime. Then I was like, no, I need to go deeper. Then I began to read the light novels. Then I was like, this is not enough. And then I began to read the Xianxia, the Chinese Lit novel. And I'm like, I need more Asian literature. So I began to read the Korean novels. And then it was like, these translations, they're getting to me. But then I discovered, oh wait, there are also original English ones. Oh. So then I found a Royal Road. Well, I found a few other websites first, but then Royal Road, where I began to read Arcane Emperor, one of the classics of the Lit RPG. Mm-hmm. It's been on like hiatus for years now.
Oh.
But yeah, and then I began to read all the other big ones, and I really enjoyed them. And then from there, this is the thing, I'm from Denmark, right? Denmark doesn't have... Amazon is really small in Denmark. You can't buy here. They don't really ship things. You have to pay $25 shipping if you buy a single book. Mm-hmm. Like, if I buy a book, it costs... If I pay per book, it costs more than shipping as it costs for the actual book.
Mm-hmm.
But they also don't have things like Kindle Unlimited.
They like don't?
You can't subscribe to it. It's not available in my country. So I didn't know anything about Amazon. So I live exactly this. I've never read a single book on Kindle.
What? Okay, yeah. I mean, that's legit. What's funny about this, I checked the Royal Road traffic stats this morning as part of research. Did you know that 35.8% of all Royal Road readers, that's 15 million, are from the US? But did you know 3.5% are from Denmark?
Yeah, I know that there's a lot of Danes.
Yeah,
it's also because we have a lot of disposable free time.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, not to talk about, you know, but the strong unions doing their job.
That's good. I mean, you were a manager, so probably not good for you, but let's talk about the revolution after the podcast.
Exactly.
In the bonus material, which you can subscribe to.
Support the writer strike, support the actor strike.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah. Please first support your writers and support your actors, because the writers are going to strike next if they keep doing this bullshit with the AI. And do we have a union?
I think it's very hard to have a union, considering I think most of the authors are not even from the US.
And also, like, you don't need anyone else.
Yeah, like, there is, like, a union. There is that, like, sci-fi fantasy union. I can't quite remember the name. But that's literally called the North American something. And yeah. It's only for Americans. There's not really any international ones. But yeah, to get, like, back to how I began to write, I was, like, just, you know, reading a lot of stuff. And then meanwhile playing a Mega Modded Skyrim, because of course you do. Like, that's what you're supposed to. And I remember I had just been reading Defiance of the Fall. I've been reading Hellfire's Monsters, Asmund Feeler, Randall the Ghost Town, all of the big ones. And I remember I was sitting there playing Skyrim. I was walking around, sneaking around. And of course, I was playing the best build, Stealth Archer. It's the only build in the game. And I remember shooting and I thought, that's weird. Why does none of them use a bow? And that was my great epiphany. I just write the same cookie cutter stuff as everyone else, but I have a bow, and that's makes me different.
You're so self-deprecating. It's so sad, but it's also so funny.
Yeah, and that's how I got started. And then, of course, it took years before I actually properly wrote anything from there.
Okay, so you read Azurin Thieler before you started writing?
Well, I read some of it. Azurin Thieler is a really old one.
Didn't the first book come out like?
I read it on Royal Road.
Yeah, but. Oh.
It began posting over 5 years ago.
Oh.
Again, remember, I don't do Amazon.
Yeah.
All of the stories I'm talking about, like Randall Ghost on Defiance, all of them are Royal Road.
That's cool.
Yeah, so like that's how I got to know them. Something like Randall, that began posting how many like...
If you are a friend of the Kazoo ad, you have to be very, very strong now. I regret to inform you that Sherlaloon went and bought the tier that removes the Kazoo ad from all podcasts. And now it's just gone. So you got Sherlaloon to thank for that. On the other hand, if you want to add the Kazoo ad again, there's a tier for that too. Thanks so much for listening, and let's get on with the show.
8 years ago or something. It's a really old story. Yeah, I'm just taking only like between 6 and 7 years ago.
Yeah, cool.
And of course, I began planning my system and stuff, but at the time, I was still studying and waiting to break into the job market. And then when I got done studying, I did what most people do when they are done with their education. I was unemployed.
Yes. You know,
the standard. So I was on, you know, government benefits while searching a bunch of jobs. And I think a lot of young people can relate if they, like, don't have any of those degrees where you instantly get a job. Not having a job is really, yeah, I didn't, like, right away. It took me half a year before I got a proper job. But not having a job is really, really exhausting. It's kind of weird.
Yes.
And it feels like... I think the worst part is you send out applications every single day. You feel like you did something, but you never get anything out of it. You get a bunch of responses that is like, hey, we chose another candidate. No thanks, we're not interested. Or the most usual response, goddamn silence.
Your nose looked weird on the photo, yeah.
Yeah, so you're just, well, they don't really say that. They just ignore your email.
Yeah.
But so yeah, you're just sitting there and you get up every single day and you go to bed and you feel like nothing is really happening. It's the same shit in and out all the time. And then I began to, you know, I feel like I need to do something every day. So that's when I really began to write the novel. I was like, all right, if I like write a chapter every day or like just at least half a chapter, then I feel like, hey, when I go to bed that night, at least I did something that feels productive. Like, I made something. And it has to be clear, at the time, I didn't plan on actually ever posting it online. It was never the plan. It was, like, to relieve stress and, like, to feel like I did something. Because I read it and I thought, oh, yeah, this is the worst. I thought it was horrible what I wrote. And I remember, like, catching up to chat with the others. I was like, yeah, this is so much better. But I still kept writing because I thought it was fun and I enjoyed it. Yeah. Then I ended up getting a job and then I just kept writing like as I was working there.
Oh, that's so cool.
And a bunch of other novels came out during the times. So I was like, oh yeah, I can integrate stuff from that. That's fun. And then, I first was like, you know, the employment is like you're employed like temporary. So I was employed 2 times 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a bunch of stuff and then COVID hit and all of that stuff, making it all the more complicated. But yeah, pretty much. And then I was permanently employed. Mm-hmm. And then I got a bit promotion at work, which was pretty much like, hey, now it's like, hey, I'm actually like staying here for good. Mm-hmm. And the exact same day I got that promotion, it was like, first of all, really funny day. I got my promotion. I went into my boss's office. We're like, because we had some floating like seats, you know, because yeah. People came and went in the company a lot. They like was in the construction business.
Oh no.
Yeah. Not because they got fired. Like they went other countries and like out on work sites and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So I had just one of the temporary, but they were like, yeah, so we will order the chair disc, you know, for my office space. And it was like, great. And then 2 hours after we ordered my new desk and chair, the Prime Minister of Denmark said, all right, everyone, send your employees home again. COVID is back.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So I went home again. But that evening when I got home, I was like, all right, I have a real job now. I won't have as much time to write my novel anymore. So I decided, you know what? I'm just going to throw it on Royal Road. I'm going to do a quick edit of the first chapter and then I'm going to throw it on there. Without rambling, without anything, it was horrible. So I threw it on there. I was like, great. And then I began to like just every day after work, I would like edit the chapter I had and then I would throw it up there.
Cool.
Because I felt like I always, you know, had in the back of my mind, hey, if it like ever turned into something, that would be cool. Mm. But I never expected anything because I know you are gambling. It is pure gambling. Mm. So I threw it up there. And then I think I got 7 followers my first day. Like after a week, I had 70 followers. By the way, these days, people get like 4,000 followers within a week.
Mm-hmm.
Like on Royal Road. I had a slow and steady growth. I slowly went up.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, it also worked a lot different. Like Royal Road right now, there are like methods to game the system. You know, you have to post a certain number count before you get on the Rising Stars, which was the old trending list.
Yeah.
So, all right, you need to post at least 5 chapters day one, and then you need to post at least 1 chapter a day, maybe 2 a day, in order to keep the word count up to get the proper views. Mm-hmm. Back then, it was just, oh yeah, I just post a chapter a day.
Yeah.
And then see what happens. And back then, you could also only get on the trending list after 30 days. So, people still gamed it back then. I just didn't know how to game it.
Uh-huh.
But I got lucky, and I got on trending list, and I had a review that I could feature and stuff, and then I slowly began to grow. And I posted mid-late September the first time around, then October came around, and I slowly began to get some views.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, 1.5 months in or something, people began to ask me in the comments where the link to the Patreon was. Because at this point, I was on the popular this week, so that meant when people went on there, they saw Ashwin Feeler. They saw, I think, Salvos was there from MLSD. And then they saw Hugh Five Monsters, The Vines of the Fall, Rainly Ghost Town, and then mine was in there.
Oh, no!
Every single one of them had a Patreon link. I didn't, because I had never thought of making a Patreon.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, this Patreon stuff. And I was like, wait, oh, this is cool. I can make both my good wage and a little bonus from this writing stuff. So I made my Patreon, and I made it like late October, like for launch in November, got like $200 my first month because it was like, wow. I launched it the 28th of October and it was like first day charging. So people paid me for like 3 days of no chapters.
Nice. Nice.
People were weird. But yeah. And then I ended up in my first month of November, I did around like $5,000.
Jesus crikey.
It was like pretty good. It was not as much as like my job, but it was good. And then I was like, this could actually turn into something. And then because at the time I wasn't struggling for money or anything, never really did. So I thought, I would rather sit on my ass at home and write this than, you know, actually put on proper pants and stuff and go to job every day. Go to a job every day. So I was like, all right, let me see if this actually works. And then I like began to really go in. with the web novel thing in November.
Mm-hmm.
While working a very demanding job, I was pretty much in charge of like a pretty big project by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I like had a few people help me. And let me say, that is very stressful to work two full-time jobs at the same
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
And then came December and I got paid again. And then I actually faced a problem. In Denmark, you have to register yourself if you make like above around like $8,000. You have to register a company for VAT and stuff.
Yeah.
And in my employment contract, I had one where they said I had to at least inform them and get permission if I want to run my own company on the side. But like, oh fuck, I have to actually make company. So I went to my boss and he knew I wrote stuff and he was like, oh, that sounds neat. Then I was like, yeah, I kind of want to quit. Then he was like, oh, that sucks. But he managed to convince me. I stayed on for like 4 more months, like hourly working from home, just helping. Mm. Like pretty much an external consultant until they found my replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went full on writing, and that's what I've been doing since.
Nice. Huh. That's pretty fucking interesting. I mean, I've made the joke before. You make like right now on your Patreon, it's clearly visible that you make like what, 18,000 or no, wait, even more, right?
Like last month, you can really see like because of how it works, but like last month I made $41,892.
Yeah.
And that is down from in May, that was $45,357. That was like my highest month ever.
Mm. As they call it in Denmark, minimum wage. So
Slightly above.
Okay. So, but again, like you're super open about this with the entire money stuff. And I mean, we've been talking before the show, which by the way, you can listen to on the bonus material if you subscribe to my Patreon.
Okay, we talked about not sharing that. Come on. All of my secrets, all of my dirty ones.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but you set them and now they're recorded and they're going to go on Patreon.
Damn you. At least save some for the blackmail.
Yeah, sure, of course. Thanks. Also, like if you wanna hear Zolgarth trash talk Aethon, no, he didn't do that. I'm sorry, I'm not gonna take that joke that far.
Oh, all right, let's trash talk Aethon. All right, what do we have on them? What do we have on them? I think the logo is basic AF.
oh, Red, please forgive me, please.
Yeah.
Is this a point where I say all authors' opinions are their own and I'm not affiliated with any of them?
Sure.
Good. Though the question was actually, is there a particular reason why you're so open with all of this? Because I know, for example, other people aren't.
First of all, because I don't really see any reason not to be open about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know a lot of authors, like I won't name who it was, but I know one author who like does really well. Like it does really well, like seven mm-hmm. figures a year now. And when he had, like, you know, a few years where he worked, let's just say, like, shit jobs, let's just mm-hmm. cut anything. And he was, you know, just going by, and then he hit it big with, like, when he began writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how many old friends and family members that haven't talked to you in years suddenly want to reach out and get along well with you.
Mm.
Yeah, and he said that he had that problem.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, that was when he began, like, hiding how, like, when he stopped, like, talking about, like, with her friends and stuff, like, how much he actually made. He was never really that open, I think, about, like, how much he made on, you know, Amazon stuff. But I think his friends knew.
Yeah. Do you know Asmon Gold?
Yeah. I play World of Warcraft for, like, 15 years. It's hard not to.
Yeah, I did too. Oh, my God. So there's this one clip of his that is very popular, where one of his friends comes in and he hangs out in a stream and tells stories about him. And he says that they only realized how much money he made when they went to a gas station and they bought a bag of chips. And he said, no, don't worry, I got it. Then they were like, oh shit, man, you're a millionaire now.
Oh shit, yeah, I haven't reached the stage yet.
Yeah, no, we're talking about it, minimum wage, it's fine. Like, you don't need to be ashamed of it.
Like, you have no idea how expensive chips are in Denmark. Like, you know, we got like 25% VAT on every product. Like,
okay, going back to writing. So if I'm a new author, right, I'm going out. I did my research, but you said it yourself. You were, in crucial ways, very lucky and then clever enough to act on it, right?
Yeah.
But if you're like a regular author, like, or how much money do you make off of, like, Amazon, for example? Can you talk about that stuff?
Yeah, I make more off like Amazon a month than I make off Patreon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But to just, of course, with royalties and like how the deal is made, it can be hard to know. But like if we just go by the first quarter this year, like quarter one, you know, January, February, March, where I didn't have an audiobook come out, but there I made just around like 230,000 from Amazon.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's it's good.
In euros, right?
Dollars.
Okay.
Dollars. Everything's in dollars.
That's very
I've just gotten used to always talking in dollars because it's what people understand.
Yeah, money talks. English.
No, no it's also that if I say like euros, then people have to like go on Google and figure out how much is a euro to a dollar.
I don't understand how I'm going to pay anything with euros. Aren't those Greek things?
They technically also are the Greek things.
They abolished the oldest currency of the world for the euro.
Yes. Meanwhile, Denmark was like, no, we keep the Danish krone. And we're like, but the Danish krone is like only 5 million people. Like, you can't sustain the currency as a small country. We're like, no, we want to keep it. They were like, all right, how about this? What if we just say that the Danish krone 100% follows the euro and one Danish krone is always 7.455. Always. No matter what, it 100% follows the euro. We're like, but it'll still be called the Danish krone, right? And we're like, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
All right, that's fine then, all right? We won. We don't have the euro. We call it something else. But we pretty much do have the euro, yes. But there's a lot of, like, Amazon is where the real money is at, if you can say that. And, like, from there, most of the money, like, for someone like me, most of the money is in Kindle Unlimited. The KENP page reads. Where you're like, for those that don't know, you get paid for every page that is read. So for mine, when I put out like 200K books, that means I tend to get paid more from like someone just reading the full book in Kindle Unlimited than someone buying the actual Kindle book outright. While for a smaller book, like a more regular sized that you normally find, they do get more if you like just buy the Kindle version over reading on Kindle Unlimited.
Yeah. Also because the Kindle book in traditional publishing is like $7, $8, maybe $9, whereas for ours it's like $2.99 or something.
Yeah, I think it's like $4.99 they start with and then their sales. Yeah. And then I think like publisher like increases it like whenever books come out.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting. Cool. All right. What was the next segment actually? Because you were kind of self-deprecating earlier, but you don't get to be Zogarth without having picked up some skills. So what's some good writing advice that you've gotten as a writer?
Just for writing or also for publishing and stuff?
Any way you like.
I think the number one advice for writing is write. It's like pretty standard, but the biggest enemy of good enough is, you know, wanting everything to be perfect. And you need to realize that when you start to write your novel, especially the first one, it's probably gonna suck. Like most first novels suck. I think I was kind of lucky that I spent so long before actually publishing anything. When I published my first chapter, I already had 180 chapters written. That is pretty much like 2.5 books already written fully. So my chapter 180 was a lot better than my chapter 1. Just from, you know, writing and improving. And so I think the best thing to actually practice writing is just write something. Accept that it's probably going to be crap. But just get your ideas down on paper. Try to actually formulate it. At least learn, like, the basic rules, like how to write dialogue grammatically correct and stuff. But otherwise, just, like, freeball it a bit. Just see what happens.
Yeah, with the caveat that finishing is a skill.
Yeah, like, I would say you don't even have to finish the novel. You just have to finish some chapters.
Yes, sorry. What I meant to say with that is you are going to encounter different problems if you keep going past 40, 60, 80 chapters than you are when you're encountering at the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty good advice.
Very true. And then for, like, when you actually publish the thing, this is the thing I'll say. In the beginning, like, read comments, get feedback.
You know what time it is? That's right. It's a new ad. And this time I have two amazing stories for you to check out.
first one is my friend Saving Throw, who writes a story called So When Am I a Hero? It's a system apocalypse that is quite frankly amazing. I don't like system apocalypses usually, and I devoured that one, so go and check it out. There's a link below the podcast. The second one is from another friend of mine, because I have two friends, called The Infinity Dungeon by Reject Humanity. Premise is actually pretty cool. Guy goes hiking on the Appalachian trails and stumbles into the only and first dungeon in the world, and he's the only person on Earth with a system, at least for a while. All right, go check him out. I appreciate it a lot, and I'll see you next time.
Look for ways to improve. When you get big, ignore everything.
Shout out to all the fans!
It sounds a bit rude, but like, if you want to get depressed and suffer a mental health episode, being a Royal Road author is like one of the best ways to do that. Like, that's goddamn fast track.
Yeah.
Of the author, like, pretty much none of the big authors like read comments on Royal Road anymore.
I disabled my ratings, and I might actually disable my comments soon, because...
Yeah, see, this thing, that's the other problem. If you disable them, you pretty much screw over a lot of yourself. Because a lot of people say, oh, you disabled your rating, that's just because you know your book is bad and you don't want people to tell you it's bad. And, like, if you disable comments, it's because, oh, yeah, you can take criticism and you don't want people to discuss your novel.
Yeah.
And there's no one actually reading it.
Yeah. People don't understand. Either people don't understand or don't care about how much it actually fucking hurts.
Oh, they straight up don't care. And then there's also the other problem. Like, I had a guy who, like, really went off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I found out, oh, yeah, that's because he's fucking 13. And he's high on energy drinks all the time.
Oh, man, yeah.
That's something you also have to consider on the internet. I feel like often people, when they, like, see a mean comments, they think, like, it's some 25, 30-year-old sitting at home, like, just being, haha, I'm just a dick. Well, a lot of times, it's just an idiot kid.
Yeah. So, that makes it actually a little bit better. I had one comment where I thought, like, hey, what the fuck are you writing this? And I was this close to writing back going, oh, man, thank you very much for the comment. What kind of hobbies do you have? And they would maybe not even answer. Or if they're answered, I would be like, oh, thank you so much. I'm going to come to your next basketball match and shout how bad you are. Like, it's...
Yeah, and it's like, no, he's not even tall enough to play basketball yet.
Exactly, not even tall, yeah, exactly.
He's still going. He's still going. Yeah.
It's a bit of a shame.
That's why I'm saying, like, the best advice is to just not... Don't read the comments. A lot of people, like, don't read it. Don't read it at all. It's so far that, again, not going to name any names, but there are people that have hired employees to post their chapters on Royal Road to avoid ever going on the website themselves.
I was suggesting, like, hey, get a digital assistant and then just have them summarize the comments, like, hey, do they like where the story is going or not?
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Yeah. For me, right now, I don't read on, like, Royal Road at all.
Yeah.
Unless, like, sometimes I go to the front page, then I, like, see the top few comments. But I do read on Patreon.
Yep.
Also, like, there you can actually just ban people if you don't like them. Sure, they can't give you money, but hey, your $10 isn't worth my mental health. And then also there, people are paying.
Yes. And there's a whole different thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, there's like so many segues we still need to explore. But
oh, yeah. Hurry. Speed round.
Baldur's Gate. Okay. You already mentioned that you love Azerinth Healer. Is there any other books that you say that actually is so freaking good, you need to read this and this is why?
Well, I'm going to go with Ranger's Apprentice by John Flanagan, old one.
Okay. Why is it good?
Don't read the newest books. It's not lit up, it's not anything. It's like an old book, I think it's like YA fiction. I was a big fan of that.
Okay, why is it so good?
Because it has an Archer MC. And then it's also a general well-written book. It's maybe like a bit for younger audiences. And I will be honest, I read it when I was young. So I probably liked it a lot more back then due to that. But I personally think like that's a really good series.
Cool.
Awesome. And then for Royal Road fiction, like there's a lot of them. I would say, like, if people like my novel, they probably also like stuff like Defiance of the Fall. But it's a bit meaningless to mention, like, hey, have you heard of U5 Monsters, Defiance of the Fall, Randomly Ghost Town, you know, those big novels.
Do you know any small ones, then?
The thing is, often the small ones, I only notice them when they get big. I'm really bad at exploring around. And also, a lot of the big ones that you see come out recently come from existing authors that mm-hmm, already mm-hmm. have books out.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, many of them are signed to Aethon already mm-hmm. too. Like but, Reborn and Symbiotic Tree, for example, like if you go on Royal Road right now, like popular this week. Return of Grumbo Professor, that's Actus. We already talked to him. I'm a fan of that novel. Reborn as a Money Tree, that's Excarnation, also signed with Aethon.
Didn't you say that twice? Oh, am I crazy?
No, Return of the Grumbo Professor and Reborn as a Money Tree.
Because you mentioned the tree the first time. Okay, I got it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's probably because I'm reading both of them at the same time, so I'm confusing myself.
Return of the Roombound Tree Demon. Okay, no.
The Roombound Tree Professor.
Oh my god, yeah.
That would be a great crossover novel. We need to do that. But no, I don't really know. Book of the Dead is really good, coming out soon. And, I think it's coming out like the 15th or something.
What's it about?
It's written by Rhino C, the same guy who wrote Chrysalis about, ants. And this one's about Necromancer.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Yeah, and it's really high rated and people really like it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's highly recommended also around the forums and stuff. And besides that, again, it's a lot of... I probably can't even remember a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I read a lot on... Well, I used to read a lot on Royal Road. So the problem is a lot of the novels I used to read that I thought were good are now big novels that people already know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gotcha. The more I write, the more I podcast, the more I go into the space and kind of like do my thing, the less time I have to read.
I also have the problem that what I end up reading these days are people sharing Google Docs and like new story ideas and like feedback on the first few chapters and stuff.
Yeah.
That is what I primarily end up reading these days. People that want feedback, people that come out with new stories.
So on that note, I think my shout out for this week would be Old Folk's new story. Dawn of the Last Dragon, Rider. It is a story about a young boy who finds a dragon or dragon egg and gets to be the first bonded dragon rider in like ages. Has an Archer MC actually.
Oh my god, goddamn ripoffs everywhere, man. How dare you use a bow? I invented that.
You invented the bow.
I invented the bow.
But actually, I'm so excited to shout it out because it really showcases just how far Sean has come. And it's a really good story. You can definitely see how good it is and how fast he improves. I highly recommend it.
Any book with an RGMC is worth checking out. That's a good rule of thumb.
There you go. It has cute dragons. It has a really cool skill system.
Yeah, like none standard, of that really cool. matters. He has a bow, right?
He has a bow. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. All the other stuff, that's just fluff to like promote the awesomeness of the bow.
Exactly. Actually, like he does really cool shit because he has limited arrows. So that's one caveat that he has with the story where he tries to make it interesting. So there's 15 orcs, but he only has 10 arrows. So what's he going to do, right?
Yeah.
That's fun stuff. All right. Oh my god, Zorgarth, you were on my podcast for 1 hour and 50 minutes.
Yeah. Not the first time. Business meetings can sometimes last up to 8 hours.
It's fine. Yeah, but...
Next question. Come on, speed round.
We're done.
Oh, wait. You said there were a bunch more, and then you had like one question.
Surprise. No, actually, yeah, we're done. If you want to, you can stay after the show for a little bit. We can talk about some board material, 10 minutes or something.
Wait, you forgot to ask, what is the one thing you learned while writing that you would love to go back and improve on in older works?
I asked that.
Oh, I just forgot.
Actually, or did I dream that? No.
I think we maybe like did it in a roundabout way.
Yeah. So what was it?
I don't know. I think we talk about you just if you write more, then you just get better, and then you.
That's
like,
yeah. That was the advice question.
Mistakes, yeah.
That was the advice question, and we actually did skip the. Would you go back? What would you go back to?
Right now, I probably wouldn't go back and change anything, but that's because I feel like often what ends up happening is that when you go back and change stuff and try to improve, it can go a lot of ways. Not really a tangent, but a bit of when you start out on a side like Royal Road, that's a good litmus test for how the book will do. When you then need to move on to Amazon after that, sure, there's a lot of arguments that the heavy editing and like changing like big story element editing and stuff can improve the Amazon release.
But you have an editor for that.
not really. Like developmental editing, you know, actual story changes. Mm. The author is heavily involved in that. Like you pretty much like go back and forth and spar. Like how to improve. Yeah.
That's what I mean, right? They support you and good developmental editor would not let you go off the cliff.
Yeah, but I am going to argue something. They don't know what the fuck's going to sell. No one knows what's going to sell. That's kind of the problem. If they knew what was going to sell, they would just write the books themselves or like constantly advise for bestsellers. And right now, I think the only, like for example, for my book, right?
Hmm.
I think, not sure, a lot of people say, but I think I've gotten at least like better in some aspects from when I started. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I hope so. Hope so. Mm-hmm. Like, you tend to get better at things the more you do them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But doesn't mean that if I go back and change my first book, then maybe, like, it loses some charm. It loses some, like, elements of cohesion. That will just disappear. And I think the problem with the developmental editor that it may be that it becomes a better novel from an objective standpoint.
Mm.
But it could also make it worse.
Yeah.
Like, the kind of worse that people are like, well, I can't put my finger on it, but I think it's worse now.
Yeah, the uncanny valley. Mm.
Yeah. And I think when you already have a novel that did well on Roy Road,
mm.
that you already kind of had a test that let you know, maybe this book's not the best it could be, but it's at least good enough to get a good audience. So editing, it is a risk. Could get better, could get worse, but you already know it's at least good enough right now.
Yeah.
And I think that, plus also another thing, you save a lot of time. And when you also have a Patreon and stuff going on, then time becomes your most valuable resource, I say, having been on a podcast for 2 hours. Talking about
this is completely worth your time. All my 5 listeners will love this. I'm kidding. I love you guys.
Yeah, yeah. There's at least 50 of them.
We are dozens.
We are dozens. Dozens, I tell you.
No. Actually, yeah. If you're here for the first time, and if you've been listening to Zogarth and I talk for all this time, go check out my other podcasts. I also have pretty cool guests. I think by this time, this is released, there's Honor Ray is going to be on there, Void Herald, Miles English, the guy who wrote Box and Isekai. Go around, click stuff, click like, click subscribe, so that one day I might actually become big.
No, oh yeah, definitely check out Void Herald. He writes so goddamn many novels. You're bound to find one you like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Next week I'm going to have a wonderful recording with Ravensdagger, who is just an electric typewriter trapped in a human body. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Ravensdagger was like, I have no issues like writing 6 novels at once, but the publishing gets so hard. Like, the fuck?
Yeah. I'm the one novel kind of guy, you know?
And that's perfectly legit.
I'm not into harems.
Not into harems.
I'm a mono novel.
It's the tagline of the story, like, Zogarth, I'm not into harems. Okay.
I say, despite a lot of people saying I have a harem, but I don't.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I do that, you know, kind of borderline harem stuff. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much. My face is hurting because of all the laughing we did. So that was cool.
Yeah, my voice is hurting because of all the talking we did.
Yeah, hopefully you did more than I did, so.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think I did. I tend to ramble.
Yeah, which is nice. It was good for me as a podcaster. All right, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I'll see you guys next time. Also, please do check out my Patreon because there will be bonus material. This is now recording 1 hour 55. So if this thing you're listening to is less than 1 hour 55, many, many interesting tidbits and Zogarth completely popping off will going to be on the Patreon.
Yeah, and go read my book, buy my books. I just bought a house. I need money help.
Yes. Zogarth just bought a house.
Yes, I just bought a house. Please, yes. I need money. Help me.
Yes.
I don't actually need money. I just want them.
So this has been the ever-charming and very, you know, down-to-earth Zogarth.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the most chill guy you'll ever meet.
Sure. You can find it on the bonus material.
I'm also the most humble person you'll ever meet. Yeah. I would actually claim I am the best at being humble out of everyone.
Absolutely. I stopped being humble because I just can't be everything at once.
Yeah, yeah. It is hard. It is hard to be.
It's a curse, really. Right.
Yes.
Go visit Zogarth's Patreon. Actually, do read his books. Pretty cool dude. Thank you, everyone.
I'll probably check out at least the Amazon stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to put a link to the Amazon stuff below the video. If you haven't read Prime Hunter yet, it is a household staple. Go and read it. I'll see you next time.
Bye.